Good evening. Good to see everybody out this evening. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4 this evening. I know we talked about fathers this morning, so I'm going to change gears this evening. 1 Peter chapter 4. And the question I ask this evening, are you ashamed to be a Christian? Are you ashamed to be a Christian? In this lesson, we'll see that we must not be ashamed for being a Christian. And then number two, we must remember that being a Christian is a blessing. So, 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to look at a few verses here. Verses 13 through 17, and we're going to look at a few of those. Verses 13, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. We'll go ahead and read those. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, or thief, or evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Well, like I said, I open up with a question, are you ashamed to be a Christian? But the question we also can ask, are we going to suffer for being a Christian? And that's a good question as well. And that is a definite yes. We will suffer for being a Christian sometimes. Not to the point like Jesus suffered, but we will suffer. People might make fun of us and our beliefs. We might even get a door shoved in our face for trying to bring the gospel to them. So many times we think that we have a tough life as a Christian. But in all honesty, we have it easier than Christ and other characters in the Bible did. Some were killed for being a Christian. Paul said it best in Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the gospel is for everyone. It's up to us to spread the gospel. Will we be rejected? Yes, we will be rejected. There are times we will be rejected, but we must not be afraid to be rejected, because Jesus was rejected many times as well. And so were others who were preaching and teaching the gospel. They were rejected just like we will be. First point tonight, coming out of 1 Peter 4 and verse 13. Rejoicing in our sufferings. Rejoicing in our sufferings. How can we rejoice in our sufferings? Well, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That means even in our suffering for the sake of Christ. You know, Paul was left for dead for what he was preaching. Jesus was mocked and scourged, beat and crucified for our sins. We should always keep in mind what all He did for us, because what we go through in this life won't ever compare to His. The Lord's Supper is our constant reminder of what He did for our sake. Psalm 118 and verse 24. Psalm 118 and verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Also in Psalm 35 and verse 9. Psalm 35 and verse 9, the Bible reads, and my soul shall rejoice in the Lord. It shall exult in His salvation. Also, David knew what it was to be ridiculed. David knew that. Psalm 35 and verse 15. Psalm 35 and verse 15. But at my stumbling, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. The smiters, whom I did not know, gathered together against me. They slandered me without ceasing. You know, we just need to remind ourselves when others might talk about us, when they talk bad about us, they are doing it to one of God's children. Others want to see us stumble so they know that we aren't perfect. Well, we already know that we aren't perfect. We already know that. There was only one perfect person who walked this earth, Jesus Christ. And he set the example for us to follow. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. The Bible reads, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." That's what we are to do, is to serve. That involves many things to many people. Jesus was with the righteous, and he also dealt with sinners. It's easy to surround ourselves with other Christians, but we also have the duty to influence the whole world. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Very familiar verse. Matthew 28 verse 19. This is Jesus to the disciples. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." That is our mission as well. That is our mission. Point number two this evening comes out of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. "Reviled for the name of Christ." Reviled means to use abusive language. There will be those who use abusive language towards us as Christians. We should pray for those who curse us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. Romans 12 and verse 14. The Bible reads, Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Well, we all know that's easier said than done. Also, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Matthew 5, verse 44. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." It's easy to hate your enemy, but they are a person just like we are. They make mistakes. They make mistakes, but it doesn't mean that they can't turn things around. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. The Bible reads, "One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' Verse 40, 'But the other answered and rebuking him said, 'Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.'" Now verse 42, "And he was saying, 'Jesus, remember me when you are in your kingdom, when you come in your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise.'" Jesus had a great attitude in forgiveness. Also in Luke 23 and verse 34. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. "But Jesus was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.'" Do we practice that type of forgiveness? Or do we hold grudges? We must pray for those who try to put us down and ridicule us for being a Christian. You know, the Church of Christ can get a bad rap. You know, some say the Church of Christ thinks that they are the only ones going to heaven. Well, we must understand that it's possible for us to miss out on our reward in heaven if we aren't faithful. We have to remain faithful. Our baptism is just the beginning of our servitude to God. That is just the beginning. Some think that it's all that we have to do to be saved. But we would be wrong to think that. There's more to being a Christian. When we are baptized, that's just where we start. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And then verse 12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus knew the disciples, and also where we were going to be, and they knew they were going to be persecuted because of him. We must know that we are blessed for being persecuted. We are blessed even though we get persecuted. Our focus should be on that reward in heaven. You know, if Christ went through it, and the prophets and the disciples also went through it, I believe we can get through it as well. I believe we can push our way through it. We have to trust in the truth that has been given to us, and we must see each person as a soul. Point number three this evening. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15 is where it comes out of. Not suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, troublesome meddler. We should not practice any of these things. We should not be practicing any of these things. We should chase after righteousness because it's a better result if we do. We are to be good examples to those around us. And we will be put to the test. We know that we will be put to the test. There will be times that we say things we shouldn't. And also, we know that we'll treat people badly. Even our actions can hurt others. We have to be careful about those things. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. Now flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Also in Psalm 111, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 111, verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. We know that Jesus was the only righteous and the one who was without blemish. The example he left for us will always be there for us, so we can try to live up to our potential. There are those who are lost in this world. There are those who are lost in this world, and we need to show them care and compassion. The more we study our Bibles, the more we will be able to teach someone the gospel. We must stay away from evil things because we know Satan is out to get us. You know, Satan already has. He's already got the non-Christian. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And those things are: gird your loins with the truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. And then on your feet, it's preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to take up the shield of faith. And then we have the helmet of salvation. And we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Those are all the things that we need to have to take against the schemes of the devil. We must use these things against him, so he cannot overcome us. There's all sorts of evil around us. And we must do our part in sharing the gospel with those around us. You know, sometimes I wonder about a song we used to sing, and we don't have it in our books out here, I don't believe. You never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You know, if we don't share what we know, we aren't doing our duty as Christians. We don't want people to say that. We don't want them to say that on the day of judgment. You know, you never mentioned him to me. We must present the gospel in a way that will bring more souls to the kingdom. Sometimes our friends will try to turn us away from God, but we must remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Let us not be easily pulled away from what we must do. You know, many times we are weak. Many times we're weak, but our weaknesses can make us stronger if we allow it to. We must stay on the straight and narrow path. Let us not be afraid to do things the right way. Let us not be afraid to do those things the right way. Sometimes the right thing to do is not the most popular to everyone around us. But we must stand firm. We must stand firm and ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? You know, that we had that saying, WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? We could keep that in mind. Point number four this evening, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. Glory in God for suffering as a Christian. Glory in God for suffering as a Christian. You know, it'd be easy to glory in ourselves for all we do, but when we allow God to be our guide, then He gets the glory and not us. God gets the glory. God's Word has the power to save, not us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. This is Paul to the Corinthians. Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. God deserves all the glory that comes from good. Psalm 86 and verse 12. Psalm 86 and verse 12. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. We should be thankful that we get to live here and teach the lost. You know, there is glory in being a Christian. Many times we can't find it, but when we stay in the light, we have God's protection. When we stay in the light, we have God's protection. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with Him, or we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, we can be forever grateful for that continual cleansing as long as we repent and ask God to forgive us our sins. You know, anytime things get too bad for us to handle, we can always go to God in prayer. We can always go to God in prayer. Prayer helps us in many ways. We must let God know our struggles in this life so He can guide us and make our path straight. You know, many lose sight of what their purpose in life is and what their purpose in life is all about. Being a Christian is all about love for God's Word and also for love for those around us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us so much, He sent His one and only Son to die for us. Anytime we suffer as a Christian, we should not be ashamed. We should not be ashamed of that. Paul wasn't ashamed, and neither should we be. There's nothing to be ashamed of when we wear the name Christian. Point number five this evening is coming out of 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. 1 Peter 4, 17. And I pose a question here, and it's the question that's posed at the end of that verse. What will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Well, what a question. You know, it's But it's a simple answer. It's a simple answer. Hell awaits them that don't receive, or hell awaits them, you know, those that don't obey the gospel of God. You know, and also they don't receive any spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And this is how he will deal with us. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Verse 8. Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of the power. We don't like to speak of hell, but we must understand that it is a real place. It is a real place, and we shouldn't want anyone to go there. So we see the outcome of what will happen to those who aren't found in Christ. We see that. But what about those who are in Christ? What about those who are in Christ? Well, they will go to heaven. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation 2 and verse 10, the last part there. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And we so wait for that day. And also in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, the first part there. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. And also in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians 3 and verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hearts and minds should be set on heaven, and our reward that awaits if we remain faithful. Paul looked forward to that award, or that reward. He looked forward to that reward. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We must be ready at all times for his second coming. You know, heaven is a better place than hell. Heaven's a better place than hell, way better. We must prepare the next generation so they can teach the gospel to those. If you haven't become a child of God this evening, if you haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you're struggling in your daily walk, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation.